Okay, I've got 9:03 a.m. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Quail County Commissioners Court to order. Noting that there is a quorum present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on mute at this time. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Commissioner Basham?
Yes, sir. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we want to thank you for the beautiful rains you've given us. And Lord, please be with our first responders as they watch over and protect us. Always, Lord, put your hand of guidance on this court so we make good decisions for the taxpayers of Quail County. We ask all these things in your son's holy name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And pledge to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone that would like to address the court this morning? Yes, sir. If you'll please state your name and precinct that you live in.
Oh, good morning. Jack Barcroft, Precinct 3. I want to say good morning to our commissioners. I'm so excited about our bright future ahead. There's some items on the agenda. I know you can't respond, but I'll go ahead and plant these seeds now. Item number 29, the VA hospital. Okay, that sounds like a tremendous opportunity for us. What I didn't see any information on, though, is if we've got any clawback revisions, promises aren't met, and what are all the incentives that are available to us under 381? As far as the opportunity for take-home vehicles for the Sheriff's Department, you can't put a price on a life. You can't put a price on saying, I highly recommend that the Commissioner's Court consider allowing this to go through, because it will save a life at some point. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. Noting that there are 5 items listed there, the court can consider to approve the consent agenda as a whole, or you may choose to discuss any of those individually.
I make a motion to accept consent agenda A, B, C, D, and E.
We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham. A second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 6, the Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
I don't know much. Started paving a couple weeks ago. We start down the Grove area and working our way around. We're up in Quail City now. Been working our way where we have stuff paved. Guys did put down 6 miles in one day. So we got the that old truck from the purchase, had some warranty work, but finally got that corrected. So we've been along. We have started 2 bridge projects as well. County Road 356. And wrap that up. We'll start crossing at 274. A Yoder Bridge in there.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Latham?
Thank you, Pat.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been working hard. I've been doing a good job.
Yes, sir. We'll do
Item number 7 on the agenda is to consider resolution supporting in-kind match for off-system bridges. I received an email with three attachments, and I put them all on here because I think the court needs to consider and discuss them all openly as we move forward with these individual items. So item number seven, the resolution went out, I believe, in your packet. And of note, it says that County Road 314, Neff Park Road, Oglesby, Neff Park Road, whichever way we want to choose to describe it, identifies it as being a county road. And we have documentation contrary to that. So as the state is wanting us to accept this resolution that they have proposed, I believe it is not accurate in defining that is a county road.
Judge, you know that we've had several discussions on it, because when you reach out to the state, they assure me that that is a county road. And then, of course, we say that it is a state road. So when I became commissioner, I inherited a file about that thick from High Davidson and Don Jones. I mean, this road has been under kind of injunction on it. So maybe just kind of bring everybody up to kind of par about County Road 314. But and of course, I know that we do have a interlocal agreement to take care of that road.
Not denying that we have a responsibility for maintenance of the road.
Yes, sir.
But to say that it is our road, I believe, is an inaccurate statement.
They're very old.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. And I think that, you know, if we're gonna sit there and maintain it and keep doing that road, some of the how they want us to maintain it, we need to make some changes in that interlocal agreement.
I agree.
You know. One of those agreements, they call it the devil's, you know, edger or whatever, something right. Like that. Well, yeah. Y'all want us to, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And we have a right to use that, you know, down there. So.
You don't want to use it.
Well, I don't roll and bridge down there handcuffed on myself.
I got you.
So if Neff Park Road, County Road 314, if it is in fact a state-owned road, even though we have a maintenance agreement, then the bridge in question to be worked on is in fact an on-system bridge and not an off-system bridge. So the resolution that was offered up by the state, again, I believe is inaccurate.
Right.
Yeah, but that, like I said, I need to give it to everybody in the draft letter. You know, it states that it's a county or other than this.
The bridge is being looked at as weight limited. I think it's from
1932.
2030, so we're speculating. I guess that's when the road built. I guess 3 years ago, we were looking at putting the Yoder Bridge in it. We stopped that. Seeking some grant opportunities. I turned around, put this in, the TxDOT, to get it with their in-kind. They approved it. For me, I would like to see the bridge be done because our current public have the major responsibilities of them. But the bridge is beyond maintenance. We do have to contribute in kind back to that. Does it state in there? I've just seen this resolution with the percentage.
It's got 314 and County Road 667. I think that's wrong. I think it's maybe 67. Bull Branch Road. It's got both of those in there. And 23,247.
I can't remember offhand which projects, because they allow us to do that in kind.
Yeah, it says 10%.
Yeah.
Also,
so What we normally do on that is if we build a small bridge or rebuild blood water crossing the sign, we'll end projects to our in kind work, send the plans to TxDOT.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost us per se money out of hand. I mean, it's projects I know most time sign are projects that we're already doing.
Right.
I would like to move forward with it just because there is an issue there. Safety.
I think the weight on the bridge is what, 12,500?
Yeah, and it's.
And there's all kinds of bombing. I think me and you were underneath it one time. Somebody drove from.
Loaded the gravel truck, went over it, and there's
underneath that it. Thing went like that. Oh, oh.
And it was not 12,000 pound gravel.
Yeah.
It's farm activity to blow it down there in the fields. They harvest. You know what, drinking bucks way loaded coming out there.
Not 84,000 pounds.
But you could just run through that part right in there.
Yeah.
State road maintained by Corio County and initially send it back to them. If they don't like it, I guess they can come see us.
Both these roads we're talking about here too are essentially dead end roads.
Yeah.
Most of that park road you can arm it any way, but later it's barricaded off down there at Clark back. People drive through the barricades.
I know.
Me and Thomas set up the barricades back at 356 yesterday when we were then inspecting the work from it.
Am I taking them in?
Yeah, they just. One of them had been on some road and you actually looked at it.
Where's the blank in my room?
Didn't I see one from my room?
They got the barricades up, moving for the blank in my room.
Somebody needed the blanket. We don't see any blinking lights.
So you're saying you marked through with the on system reading program?
Well, I think there needs to be.
Yeah.
I think there need to be two different resolutions. Is really what, because this is covering Bull Branch Road as well. So that one is ours. And I can get with TxDOT to figure out what is the percentage breakdown of match dollars because it's got them both combined. But I think there needs to be two different resolutions, one for Neff Park Road and one for Bull Branch Road. Much like they've got individual advanced funding agreements, which we'll get into in just a minute. But it'd be my recommendation to table this. Pending revisions that we can agree on with TxDOT.
Make a motion to table.
Second.
Got a motion table from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 7? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 8 is to consider the advanced funding agreement for bridge replacement on Neff Park Road. Again, I believe that went out to you, and this is the one that from the very beginning is saying that if you look at the third whereas, the local government owns one or more bridges on a public road or street located at, I believe that is an inaccurate statement. And the fact that they think we're Travis County as opposed to Corio County. So I think this one needs to be tabled pending revisions from that we can agree on with TxDOT. Got a motion table from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 8? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number nine is to consider advance funding agreement for the bridge replacement on Bull Branch Road. I can get over to that. All right, and other than Travis County, I do believe this one is one that we could approve. I didn't see anything else as I read through this that thought wasn't something that we could support, that we could not support.
Number seven was tabled. Does that tie Bull Branch to it?
Yes.
Just so we're aware, we have a bypass built on a neighbor. Yes, we can only be on him for so long after this agreement is made with him. So if we don't move forward with this, or it's drug out, we could potentially be going in with more compensation or something along that lines.
Well, I think a resolution supporting Bull Branch, once we get that, you know, through TxDOT, I don't think that's going to be an issue. But that one resolution that they proposed ties both of these projects to one resolution as opposed to needing two resolutions. Because I don't think there's any issue with Bull Branch, and I think we can get that worked out with TxDOT pretty quickly.
The only issue I see with it really is that it references, and this may be some paperwork mistyping or something, but it references County Road 274 and Quarry Oak Creek in it. And then on the back side of it, it's County Road 667 and Bull Branch and the tributary of the Cowhouse.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Okay, the County Road 274 is the proposed in-kind match.
Right.
That's what that worksheet is attached, showing that this would be the agreement between Creole County and the state, saying that this project that we're doing on 274 with the associated, if you look at on attachment B, has that breakdown of it, and we would get credit for in-kind of $13,834 on that project.
Did it state in there anything that the work has to be formed after these resolutions are signed on, because we're scheduled to start on that bridge on 274 and probably 3 weeks? I think most of the time we make us have that done before we do our.
On D, it says local government perform any work under this contract, which reimbursement will be provided by and through the state. Local government must complete training. Federal spending authority, which has done training, is complete when at least one individual is working actively and directly as responsible. Accurate.
Within D, this is 14D2, the structural or safety improvement on the EMDs shall be performed subsequent to the final execution of this agreement, but within 3 calendar years after the earliest contract award of the remaining PWPs, which are the bridge projects. So our equivalent match projects shall be performed subsequent to the final execution of this agreement within 3 calendar years of the agreement. We're going to start after next month. We have 3 years out of this.
Yeah, 3. I'd make a motion to approve the advanced funding agreement for the bridge replacement on Bull Branch.
Second. We've got a motion to approve the advanced funding agreement from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. As have it, motion carries. Item number 10 is to consider Coleman subdivision plat.
Mr. Maddox is off running around West Texas and somewhere. I talked to him yesterday. He made sure that I had this. I was ready. We've got some, we printed y'all out some bigger ones. Basically, it's a 19.71 acre tract of land off Moxman Bend Road. It's obviously not big enough to split into 2 10-acre or larger tracts because it's 19.71 acres. They are splitting it into 2 tracks, 10.13 and 9.58 acres. It's right out there on Moxman Bend, past Moore County Road 108, cut off there. And the land across the road from it's already kind of been split up. There's already buildings on both tracks. The Road and Bridge Department's approved the plans. The
checklist up here. Mr. Mendix has completed it. They've got plenty of room out there for the additional driveway to the 9.5 acre tract of land. They've surveyed, shows where the septic tank systems are on both of the tracks, make sure they're all contained on the tracks, individual tracks. So everything appears to be in order. They have paid their fee. Mr. Mannix has the receipt here.
That was my only concern with it, with the shared driveway on more property.
Yeah, so then where this is, if you've been out there where you come by it, you can come down there and turn in a driveway, and then there's a gravel drive that goes down in front of that big building that they got marked on here as a single-story frame and rock masonry residence. And then that road kind of goes on down there to that other little building and stuff. And they can just kind of drive all the way across there over really what the street tracks here right now, but that actually would not be the case. And so that's when they did the survey work. They showed those existing gravel driveways and stuff on there, but there is already one driveway off Knoxville Bend. Mr. Mannix has approved. He checked the box confirming the installation of culverts in compliance with county ordinance on culvert section 1.6A. So I assume they put in another one up there since they're in the city. So he checked the box. It's pretty flat and straight. Even once you come around that, you know, big corner, it's straight all the way down through there. There's plenty of room there for driveway. I wouldn't expect it to be an issue.
I've got a motion to approve the Coleman subdivision plat from Commissioner Taylor, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 10? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries.
Judge, that's the original plat here. Has Mr. Mannix been putting his checklist in the receipt into the record, or has he been holding them in his records?
I don't know. Okay. Ms. Carnegie, do you know? Have we been? Okay.
I'll hold on to the judge and see if he needs to. We'll put him in.
Okay. Item number 11, discussion and update of IT services, and as subsequent to that, they're covering this as well. 11A is to consider agreement with Kings 3 Emergency Communications for elevator telephone communications, and 11B, which is to consider agreement with Brightspeed for internet services. Mr. Goldsmith, hey. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
So just to kind of recap real quick, this item discussing of the IT services continues to be on the agenda at our request. We see this being on the agenda for all Commissioners' reports moving forward. Just to continue the conversation of IT and to stress the importance of it when it comes to the priorities for your county. Just a brief IT update. We had the monthly meeting internally with your team yesterday. I think that went well. I had multiple people attend it, just kind of gave an update on where we are in several projects. Things are progressing. We did an upgrade at the data center last night to explain the storage. I looked at y'all's tickets this morning and didn't see any major reports from that. That went well. That wrapped up a little bit after midnight. And so there will be continued improvements related to that change and expansion. We're continuing to work for budget planning to get prepared for the next fiscal year and to address the things that we brought to the court on May 12th. And so that's an ongoing effort. And then I wanted to make the court aware that the Sheriff's Office has been notified that you will have a CGIS technical audit at the end of June, which is the end of IT audit. We do expect some challenges with that, specifically related to Windows 10 being non-compliant for the CGIS requirements. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you have just in general about IT before we move to 11A.
That compliance is as far as CGIS
yes,
and 10, Is it only attached to the sheriff's office or throughout the entire county?
It's attached to anyone that deals with CJIS-related data, which includes all of your prosecutors, your clerks, your judges. So it applies to more people in the county than not. Unfortunately for the sheriff, they just choose to scrutinize him first.
Right.
So, because he's the most forward-facing CJIS-related. And just for everyone, just for transparency, this is Criminal Justice Information System.
Right. Yeah.
This is the regulation that the FBI hands down to the state of Texas, that hands down to the county, that you have to be compliant in how you're handling information technology from a protecting secure information standpoint.
Do we know how many units or how many computers that are attached to the CJIS audit?
I don't. I think last time we said that there's about 53% of your overall computers where that represents over 120. I'll tell you this, Commissioner, like in the report we gave you in May, which the county was facing, no matter who your IT vendor is, you have computers that are 10 years old, 7 years old, 5 years old. This is not like running your household where you can keep a computer 7-8 years and it'd be no big deal. This is like running a government or a bank or any major institution that's regulated. And so 5 years is kind of the normal life cycle. And you all were facing, I think 53% of them, this is just from memory, were way outside of that. And when you look at the overall whole, you're like 84% needed to be addressed out of the 240 roughly units that you have. Are there any other questions I can answer on that? Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, Judge, we can move to 11A. Is that
go right ahead? Okay. Yes.
So 11A is pretty simple. That should have been included in your package. It's an agreement with Kings 3, which converts the elevator emergency notification for the courthouse building from an analog phone line with Brightspeed that's currently costing you about $74 a month to a cellular-based connection, which this agreement is on a General Services Administration, GSA federal contract, and it would be $0 installation, $49.91 a month. So it goes up a little bit, but we have to convert this to cellular because analog phone lines are going away, but because of the structure fired downtown, that severed our communications there. So because this is an agreement that has to be signed by the county, I would ask that you'll, for your consideration to approve this agreement, Kings 3, for $49.91
per month. I have a dumb question.
Yes, sir.
No. Good. Down there in the basement of the elevator.
Yes, sir.
Cell phones don't work. Okay. Say something happens, door won't open, an elevator comes, somebody trapped in there, they try to use it. Will that phone work?
Right. So that is going to be, once we enter into the screen and get the installation technician on site, it's highly possible, Commissioner, that the box that this links to will have to be put near a window. It may have to be put on a different floor. The phone in the elevator will still be a hard line to a third-party box, which is this Kings 3 thing. And that Kings 3 thing, the box is going to have to be installed somewhere where there is cell phone service in that building. And your fire notification system already works like this, is my understanding. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, it's near that ADA exit where it has cell phone coverage. So it might be that this unit can be right next to it. I can't definitively say until we get the technician out and do the site survey, but that's kind of how we've seen this work.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's all I have on that. I just would ask for your consideration to approve the agreement of Kings 3 and 11A.
How many years is that going to be?
It did not outline in it. I would expect it's a 1 year because it's on a GSA contract, which is like TIPS, Byboard, et cetera. You know, those are renegotiated, meaning that it's already been vetted by the GSA, which is a federal government entity. I expect it to be 1 year. I didn't see, unless I just missed it in that agreement. Right now, that phone line, you know, is usually a one-year type agreement. I don't think this presents any risk or contractual issues to the county, meaning that I'm not an attorney, I'm not commenting from a legal standpoint, but you're just deleting one service, adding another service, which we knew needed to be done. The fire downtown just sped this up, that it needs to be done now.
It is under 2.1, paragraph 2.1 of the agreement. It is a one-year agreement. And it automatically renews for 1 year.
Oh.
And we have the ability to terminate Given 30 days written notice to Kings 3.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't have a printout of it in front of me. I was trying to read on my phone.
No, you're you're fine. You're fine.
I'd make a motion to approve the agreement with Kings 3 Emergency Communications for the elevator.
Thank you.
We've got a motion to approve the agreement from Commissioner Basham, I mean, Commissioner Matthews, and this is for 11A. Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussions on 11A? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Picking up with item 11B.
Okay, thank you for that. 11B is an agreement that we could have entered in this on a month-to-month basis, which would have avoided it coming to court, but we were able to obtain better pricing if we committed at least to a one-year agreement with Brightspeed. The printout I gave you this morning basically just summarizes this would replace the existing internet service for the Main Street Annex. It's going from a speed of 200, which I will tell you is currently a problem that we're experiencing during peaks of the day. It would go from a speed of 200 to a speed of 2000, which is also known as 2 gigabit. This would replace the internet service at the Indigent Health Building, which is currently on a good day. The wind's not blowing too much. It's 100 down and 20 up with a new fiber-based 200 meg up, the download and 200 meg up. This would add a secondary internet, meaning that to make it faster and more resilient, where if one provider's down, the county can continue operations. It would add a second internet at Copper's Cove Annex, which includes adult probation and juvenile probation. Currently, it's at a speed of 100 down, 20 up, and it would be a gigabit, which is 1,000 up and down. This would also upgrade the internet service at Copper's Cove Justice Center, which includes JP1, JP2, and the Sheriff's Office. Currently, at a speed of 100 down, 20 up, and this would be 1,000 up and 1,000 down. Total, we would be canceling $1,441 in expense in the telecom budget, $1,441.51 to be exact, and the new cost of all four of these services, which makes things more reliable, faster speed, and is going to reduce the cost. The total cost per month would be $554.76, which is a net savings to the county of $886.75 per month. I will say that we're working with a new account manager at Brightspeed. We're trying to clean up all of these old agreements and to get them on more modern terms and improve service is the first goal. And the second goal is to reduce cost if possible. But in every situation that we've met with these vendors, we're able to reduce cost. And I'll be able to give you a summary of that as we work through these agreements. And then this, like I said, this is a 12-month agreement with Brightspeed. I would tell you that you can expect more of these agreements to keep coming to court. We're trying to deal with them strategically. Get the low-hanging fruit, cost savings out of the way. The ones that are harder, kick down the road a little bit. But this will probably be over the next 4 to 6 months. And we'll continue to track these costs so we can see the net impact to the budget. But I will tell you, it's not just that I expect, I fully commit that this will reduce your spending while improving your service, which is what we talked about before, with the goal of not taking that money and putting it away for a rainy day, but taking that money and putting that towards the fiber improvements that we know need to be done for this courthouse, keeping us meeting downtown Gatesville. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have on this one. There is an in-depth proposal from Brightspeed there that outlines all the terms. Yeah. It's a bunch of technical jargon, but I'll be happy to have it in general.
I have a question. I'd make motion to approve the agreement with Brightspeed for internet service.
Thank you.
We've got a motion to approve the agreement with Brightspeed from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on 11B? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries.
The last thing I'll say, Judge, is I appreciate everyone at the county helping us with this because it's a cooperative effort, but specifically the auditor's office, there's a lot of, and the clerk's office, county clerk's office, there's a lot of agreements we're trying to find and bills and stuff that accounts and all that stuff, and they've been very helpful and responsive, which is helping us speed this process up. So I appreciate their effort. I'll be around today. If you have any questions, we have to get this with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone have anything else to cover on item number 11? Okay. Item number 12, update and actions on grants to include, but not limit to two, HMP. I don't have any updates for HMP.
HMP, Coral Jones, I believe is her name, that was emailed about the extension to get the reimbursement put in.
Yes.
She emailed me yesterday, I believe it was, maybe the day before, I think it was yesterday, and they did approve a 6-month extension to give us time to get the reimbursement stuff done. So yeah. I did get that yesterday and didn't have a chance to visit to you, but didn't get that yesterday.
Is it 6 months been well?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bell. The RCP, don't have anything to update on RCP. Mr. Bell?
Have you talked to Brooke lately?
Not.
I did. I'm not sure our monthly reports can get involved. Do we have those monthly reports that we call them back every month?
Yeah. Yes.
I was forwarding them. I was filing them every month. The last one I was able to file, though, I'm pretty sure it was maybe February, you should report the first week of March. I can't remember. I can't remember when they zapped me out of Tiger. They still not letting me back in Tiger. I've talked to everybody down there.
Okay.
And Sephora was going to try because Langford's not locked out of Tiger. Ms. Langford said they were still filing their reports and everything. They still had access.
You said February is the last.
I don't know for sure. I'll try to look back and see. I don't know.
Here.
But okay. Brooke was going to take over filing those monthly reports at some point, way back when.
Yeah, no, I.
But she didn't, so I kept doing them so they'd get done. Then I got locked out, so I didn't able to do them. And I don't know if she's been doing them or not. But I'm not even getting the emails. See, I hadn't filed my LHMP report since the last one, March, whenever. And I was, if I filed one after the field, if I didn't get it done on the 6th or 7th, I was getting an email from them. And while I made a message, your report's not filed. I hadn't got one of them either. So I think they completely zapped me out of time. Like, I don't even get the notifications anymore that the reports are not getting filed. And I know the reports on LHMP hadn't been getting filed. I was the only one doing that. So I think they completely zapped me. I don't know.
Okay. I'll see what I can do to get that resolved.
Hope you have better luck than I've had. I think we may need to escalate our request above the folks that have been arrested.
Okay. All right. Anything else to cover under the RCP? Community Development Block Grant. We have any updates on CDBG MIT?
Judge, they're still playing along. I know we had that request for reimbursement the other day. A little bit of engineering and a little bit of grant management. So, with all that's moving forward. That's the one that's got the probably going to have a little right of way issue over there off the bottom of. We got across that bridge. I'm going to be in fixture with at some point. But I haven't seen any movement on that in the last, 2 weeks in regular service.
They've been emailing back and forth with SRA. Okay. I haven't spoken with them since we've been paying too much about it, but in some form signed with Fort Hood to send us GIS information. So they're communicating us. Don't know where they're setting up. And I don't imagine it's going to be super fast.
Justin, you'd had a meeting with the Fort Hood folks a couple weeks ago. Is that right?
Yes. Basically, got them introduced with the engineers, Langford. They're going back right away. They're sending surveys out. The engineer has the Corps' real property division in Fort Worth has been communicating with them. There was some confusion at first, like Fort Hood Road, cleaning that up. Then they were trying to. Originally, they threw out there that we had to build it to their specifications up there, so I think they're trying to resolve that, which is, and like army tanks and other tanks. They're working on it, you understand.
Okay.
I would just prefer to go to the north, but I don't know, those engineers would want to reject all everything. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our bridge didn't hold up. Army tank up went across about 3 weeks ago. You seen it got pulled over on 116? They were off.
I did see it pulled over on 116.
This one didn't fall off of it. The other one fell off of it.
This may come as a bit of surprise to you, but there's huge variances in the abilities of some of those tank drivers.
Well, so, some operators too.
You yes. Anyway. Okay. Anything else to cover under the CDBG net? Right, and then we got next one is the FEMA DR 4781. I'd received a couple of requests for extensions on a couple of those projects that I've got to get those. I need to get with Desiree to find out exactly what information they want on those, but I think that's an extension on the ones that you're still working on. Is that working on the scopes of work on those?
Yes, due to funding, Judge, we've got to slow down. I'm not going to pick up with it anymore. FEMA projects will after October 1.
Okay.
I think there's 13 of them left. A mixture of them, we don't need an extension on this, some of them we do.
Okay.
The extension you're probably signing is going to show a lot of other projects, but all of them have been complete.
Okay.
I think the biggest extension is going to be the 321 in Straws Mill, but means that we received the grant notification on Straws Mill. I don't know what that grant's called. Congressional. The one we received from the, was that Senator Coleman?
Congressman Carter's office.
But we need to figure out how that is going to tie in with FEMA working on it right now. And no work's been performed, but they did grant us that engineering money. I don't think they've received it, but we have hired an engineer outfit. But I don't know if we can use the two, use part of what we're getting from FEMA for engineering data, then it still needs to develop more. But
yeah,
at some point in time, we move forward with the 3.9 million grant, we'll just have to remove the easements.
Yeah.
I think we're waiting on another notification on that. They were supposed to send out.
Yeah, I think it said what, some more information to come in the following week or something. It didn't give a date. This little one page deal.
Yeah.
And it had a link you could go to for. There's when we ask questions, ask the question, kind of listserv type deal, but it didn't give a lot of details. It really didn't give any details, actually.
One of my concerns is we estimated that job about 3 years ago, and I don't know how that's going to play into account. So.
Well.
Depending on the requirements, we can build it or not. So, if they write us a check for 3.9 million, we go to work down there and get some built.
Build it, the whole tax. Leave it out.
No, I'll go back and look at that and see what our next steps are. Because I just don't remember off the top of my head, but it was a just an official announcement. Right. Anything else to cover under 4781? Okay, and finally, the Leon Cowhouse Flood Project. There was a stakeholder meeting yesterday. I believe Commissioner Basham, you attended?
No, I did not, but I did receive the packet.
You got the packet.
I do apologize, missed it, and that's another issue come up. But we do need, in my opinion, we need to set a workshop of Blackland and other entities as far as it is, because I think there was kind of some drop-dropping moments today when we found out how much water, especially around the old area, how much water is being lost over there. And I appreciate we know the entity that's the cause of that. But we definitely need to give these people and have a workshop and bring this to attention to a lot of people. So I hope this court's in favor of having a workshop on this. So.
Provided that Blackland can do it. Provided they can do it next Thursday or Friday. That was the rest of my statement. Do y'all have availability for Thursday or Friday of next week? Thursday's the quickest. That's the based off of if we publish the agenda today.
Yep.
Okay.
I got two spin fixed that day, but I'll make it. Might be y'all. I think she does.
Okay. What time's your appointment?
I think it's a day.
Okay. The location. The here and there.
I think would work pretty much well for everybody, especially them coming over here, is if we do it Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
Yep. Sounds great for me.
Okay. All right. We'll get that agenda scheduled. I'll get confirmation with them. Is anybody having problems with Friday? If they can't do Thursday and they can do Friday, any conflicts with Friday?
Okay.
So Thursday will be a primary with Friday being the alternate. Okay. Anything else? Discussion on Leon Cowhouse Flood Project. All right.
Appreciate that.
Moving on to item number 13 is to consider a budget amendment for FY 2026. I did sit down with the auditor and Mr. Belt. We went over some unrecognized revenues. This was going to support capital improvement projects, roof remodel over there, as well as covering additional expenses under IT. But I did not get that typed up in time for the meeting. We do have those numbers worked out. I believe it's going to cover the anticipated expenses. I will get that typed out, and I will put that on. If we get this workshop set up, we'll have a brief meeting to take action on that particular budget amendment. So at this point, I don't have anything for you to consider.
I'm going to go back one if you don't mind. Does that have a cover sheet or an agenda, or is it just a packet from what
I discussed?
I'll make y'all consider. If you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Because it'll be up to date before we go into it. Thank you, sir.
Okay. If you note, no action taken on 13. Item number 14 is to consider reappointing Ray Ashby to a 2-year term on the Board of Trustees for Central County Services. He has been our county representative on that particular board for several years now. In a letter of a request from Mrs. Johnny Wardell, who is the executive director, asking that we reappoint him.
So move.
Second.
Motion to reappoint from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item 14? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 15 is to consider court order CC-2604, order declaring equipment property as surplus salvage. I'd been informed, and I hope I've got it correct, that help resolve one of our constable vehicle issues, a vehicle from the sheriff's department had been transferred over to the constable's office. Is that? And so this would be an order for surplus salvage of the constable's vehicle, so that we can get that one sold.
I'd make motion to approve CC-26-04.
Second. Got a motion to approve court order CC-26-04 from Commissioner Matthews. Second from Commissioner Basham. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Well, and Sheriff, I appreciate your cooperative efforts on that as well. Thank you. Item number 16 is to consider a court order for court bailiff vehicles to be used for work only, not commuting.
Yep. I asked for this to be put on there. We have six bailiffs, three vehicles. The last budget, it was discussed that those vehicles wouldn't last a year. It was pretty much discussed in the court to park them, use them for work only. Therefore, the fuel and the maintenance portions were reduced in that budget, which helped the overall county budget. But they're in the red now because of vehicle issues, because of the fuel usage. I visited with the administrative judge over all that. I've been visited with the chief bailiff over that, and it's still an issue. So that's why I put it on there.
We don't necessarily have to approve any costs above and beyond, you know, what their budget supports.
Correct.
So if they're choosing to operate those vehicles and cover maintenance costs and fuel costs on their own, what's the negative of them still continuing to operate those vehicles?
Well, you have three that are not operating vehicles, so they have the wear and tear on theirs, and they're wanting to be reimbursed for their time of driving to work. So it's just becoming and then there was an issue, and I don't know the actual date, where the bailiffs had to transport someone, and it was shared with me that they wouldn't allow them to, that the person that was assigned the vehicle wouldn't allow them to use it to transport. So if you park
That's concerning. I mean,
I agree.
You know,
so if you park them at the courthouse and you have a key sitting there, whoever needs it uses it. They're not making traffic stops on the way home. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think they're being called out. I don't think they're on call. But my greatest concern is the red line of we haven't made a budget amendment, and they're in a red. So
it's not that, I mean, it's not benefiting the citizens
by them taking them home.
And it's been shared with me that some of this is personal. None of it is personal. It's a business decision. I mean, you can't operate in the red. And if one needs a vehicle while he's at work and someone does not allow that, that's a problem. I mean, that can be a security issue.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I think to the point of what's the value,
right,
is just the appearance of the vehicle, you know, traveling up and down the road. Right. I mean, you know, because they are outfitted with lights and, you know, markings. And so I think that there's a visual benefit. I don't know. I mean,
I'm fine with tabling it until further studies or conversations can be had. I mean, everybody's got to understand that this can only be discussed in open court. You can't, you know, intermingle and I mean, you can share the information, which nothing's really in writing. It's just verbal. But other than the budget is there. But it is, in my opinion, it's an issue.
Yeah, I agree with you. You have, like I said, three bailiffs that do have vehicles, and you got three that don't.
Right.
And, you know, that's not fair to them. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit up there and say I have a perfect scenario solution for it, but it's something we definitely need to just go figure it out, especially with budget coming up.
Sure.
And like Ted said, I don't have, again, I know with three bailiffs that don't have vehicles, that may be a problem for them, and I can understand where they're coming from. You know, if we sit there and say, all right, bailiffs, if you're willing to pay for the oil and gas and the wear and tear on these vehicles, you know, go ahead and drive them. But then those other three are going to say, well, I would like to have that option as well. So, I mean, so it's like a lot of decisions we make, guys, it's going to be a tough one. And not everybody's going to like the decisions that we make, but it's basically tough right when we're in the middle of budget. I mean, just in the middle of this budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the not being able to use one to transport, that's a big deal. Because it's a county-owned vehicle. It's not a personal vehicle. And one of the ways to stop that would be they stay parked. And you need to transport one, you go get a set of keys and transport them. And if there's three of them get transported one time, you have to wait till somebody gets back. So you said just fine with table it till you get.
I'm fine with tabling it until the rest of the court can look into it and say, well, you know, I'm fine with that. I mean, because it is a big deal, but, you know. I don't know. It's not going to get in the red if they're still operating with a cord. I mean, it's going to get deeper into it.
Oh, yeah.
If they, you know.
They continue, unless they start picking about a personal.
Sure, yeah. And I didn't see anything on this particular set of bills, but the gas cards, unfortunately, they don't break out very well.
Which card, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how long, I guess as long as I can remember, the bailiffs have always had vehicles, haven't they?
Here.
That I'd say, you know, and if that's something that we're something else, you know, of course, this will be some more discussion. And when we start talking about the budget, if we take vehicles away from them, then we may have to do some kind of a conversation, or we may not have any damn bailiffs. They may say, well, if that's going to be the case, they're just going to cross the road, work. You know, and there's a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a
deal where all the parties involved should probably sit down in a workshop or something like that, and including the administrative district judge, the chief bailiff, and start breaking it down, pros and cons of why their vehicle's moving, this, that, and the other, and maybe put it on the chief bailiff to have some sort of policy on those vehicles, like we do as a sheriff, how they need to be utilized, how they don't need to be utilized. And my understanding is the fuel in the cars and all that's already been shut off. So short of them going and putting tires and doing vehicle maintenance, that's the only thing I don't see that my funding county back in the place, you know, if they did. But then again, that goes into violation of the policy.
Chief Bailiff, you know, he was all right with parking those cars, but you know, he said if that's going to be the case, it's not a budget that we, you know, we need to work on, maybe have some conversations with those bailiffs and emergency. Of course, that's budget talks for next year's budget, but that was kind of the conversation that I had with him.
Okay. So was there a motion to table that, or take what action were we going to?
I'll make a motion to table it.
Second. Got a motion to table item number 16 from Commissioner Taylor, second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 17 is discuss and consider a court order that Sheriff's Office take-home vehicles only be used for commuting to residences within the county.
I was asked to put this on here too. It also goes with commuting. Me and the sheriff visited briefly. I think it was Wednesday. I've read all the AG opinions and everything that were sent to me. It's not about micromanaging. It's about taxpayer dollars going outside the county. Citizens have brought up this concern. Employees have brought up this concern. That's why I put it on there.
We don't have many.
I know.
There's 11. And I will tell you, each one of these 11 are very vital to the operation of the sheriff's office and very vital to the safety of this community. Those patrol cars are our offices. That's our weapons locker, everything we need to answer a call. My question is, what's the safety of the citizens and the response times of our deputies really work? What dollar amount do you put to that?
Life is priceless, no doubt. I agree with you, Sheriff. Life is priceless.
And I'll tell you, according to AG opinion, you know, once those are given to me, they're mine to do with how it needs to be done. I have a constitutional obligation to be the chief law enforcement officer of this county. You have to look at liability purposes. I called Chief Deputy Scott in because I got a deputy pinned down to bar ditch, so he's hauling butt in his personal vehicle, and he runs over somebody or flips his car, or, you know, he goes straight to the scene and the car gets shot up. Who's going to be responsible for that? Not to mention, if we did this, these 11 deputies, we're going to park 11 cars up here at the sheriff's office. We're going to bring 11 personal vehicles up here and park next to it. And because it would be absolutely dumb to leave all of your stuff in that vehicle up here in the public, you're going to spend 30 minutes loading and unloading that vehicle. So there's an hour going out of a 12-hour shift.
I just think that this is not a brilliant move by any means. Anybody has any questions for me, I'd be more than willing to answer them. I think it's a terrible decision. And I will fight it tooth and nail. Because if we do it, you're going to chop the top tier off of my sheriff's office. Their response times will be doubled. And I'm talking to the tune of my chief deputy, two of my division commanders, which being two of the division commanders, Captain Cruz and Captain McClinton, when we had one of the most catastrophic events we've ever had in Coryell County, i.e. the square fire, those are the two guys that showed up because they were on call. They showed up, directed all the emergency traffic, and had the plan in the jail to evacuate 140 inmates. Those are necessities. Those are necessary positions that need to have their transportation to get here. I have two investigators. One of them is my narc that I won't mention his name or anything, but he is also the front man on my SWAT team. The only SWAT team that takes care of 85% of this county. Another one is the one that comes out in the middle of the night when a child is assaulted sexually, physically, what have you. Any kind of personal crime, that's the person that shows up. Another one, actually two more, are my mental health officers that show up at all hours of the night for people that are suicidal in crisis, what have you. Two more are the ones that we have assigned to the east side and the west side of this county that not only have that jurisdiction, they also have the protection of those two schools on each end that I have put extra on their plate. Now, with that being said, I'm just going to break it down to the nuts and bolts of it. Our common practice over the years, ever since I can remember, if you had a badge and a gun and the ability to take somebody's freedom, you had a car, no matter where you live. It's not like we're driving to San Antonio back then. They're in the counties next door. I have 11 deputies out of 34 assigned that live just outside of our county. I don't know if y'all looked around, but there's not a huge pool to pull licensed peace officers from in Coryell County. Copper Cove is shorthanded, Gatesville is shorthanded. We have some vacancies. You take that away, there ain't nobody going to drive over here for $45,000 a year. Not when any of these deputies right here that I listed can go to Copper Cove Police Department and get $80,000 a year with a whole lot less responsibility. They can go across the street over here to Gatesville PD for a $20,000 increase over what they make right now. We're asking these folks to put their lives on the line for $45,000 a year. And now we're going to come back and say, well, yeah, by the way, we're taking your car too. We want to make it just a little bit harder. I think that is absurd. I think it's a waste of all of our time right now to sit here and even have this conversation. I can assure you the citizens that I talk to, which is the majority, it's not, level of service has no ceiling to them. They're wanting to know, how come you ain't here quicker? Well, if I had bailed in another 30 minutes going to get a car to get there, because I'd be damned if I drive my personal truck there, because I don't want to bring that baggage back to my family. Just day before yesterday, we had an attempted murder in Copper's Cove. Guess what? a lot of these folks right here on this list showed up because it's all hands on deck. They showed up ready to fight, and we apprehended the guy that just shot a dude in his chest by the high school that had students there. My point, and I'm not angry, I'm beyond angry. It's silly to me that we're even having this conversation, because we're talking about the hundreds of a penny what it would cost a taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer, pay my fair share. You know what? Raise my taxes if that's the cost. Because I took an oath. I stood before God and family and raised my right hand and said that I will protect this community, that I will be the peacekeeper in this community. And that is my intention. And if it rubs anybody wrong, citizens, elected officials, what have you, I'm not going to be apologetic for it, because when I said, so help me God, I meant it. So I'm going to punt it right back to the court, and I've pretty much said my piece as politely and nicely as I can say it. But I can assure you, I will fight it tooth and nail.
Does any of these vehicles, do you allow your deputies to do extra work?
We do, and when they do, like the highway, the county gets reimbursed per hour for a sit-down.
For the two vehicles. And then, of course, the deputy gets their part of it.
The deputy gets their part.
Which is only fair.
Yes.
And that's the only...
And we allow them to do that because...
Well, I'm just asking that question.
Well, I'm putting it out here. The reason why we work off-duty is because we make pennies.
Yeah, I understand it completely. But I guess more so with bars and stuff like that.
We don't work banks.
Do they go sit in a bank? Or...
I ended that day one.
Okay. Well, I don't know how your policy was written on that.
I ended that day one because how can I come out here and write you a DWI if I'm going to let you leave the bar drunk on my off-duty day?
Exactly.
And the banks, we were working for the banks, and I thought that was a great thing, but we can go make $50 an hour sitting on a highway, and the county makes $15 an hour for that car sitting there.
Yeah.
Or we can make $12 an hour working for a bank. Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong. I totally agree with those vehicles being parked like the E-Bank Bank or the Ogilvy Bank or something, because like y'all had alluded to earlier with the bailiff vehicles, they see a cop car sitting there. They know the police is somewhere around. And don't get me wrong, I totally concur with that, but the bottom line is my guys are going to work what pays them on their off-duty time. Now, in a perfect world, would I rather them be reimbursed and us not have to work any private security? Absolutely. But that's a conversation for another budget. Right here in this list, I mean, I'm going to tell you, in the top three people on this list right here, there are 70 plus years of experience right here. The reason they work here is because they retired from bigger cities, bigger agencies, and can afford to work here. They're not delinquent. And not to mention, they're folks that I trust unequivocally to do the right thing. That's why they're in my top tier of my administration.
Well, that was the main part of my question is, any of the vehicles being used for extra work, to they're not getting reimbursed for the vehicle?
They absolutely do. Absolutely.
They're doing that extra work and the county's not getting reimbursed, or they're not?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
If they do extra work, is the county getting reimbursed for the
vehicle? Not if it's like going to work a high school football game here in the county.
Well, yeah, I mean, still a community deal, though. If I'm talking like if they go into Bell County and work something.
No, the county doesn't get reimbursed for it.
If the car is running, the county's getting reimbursed.
If the car is operating, the county is being reimbursed, except for say they had to drive from here to the expo center. Okay. All of their stuff to do cop stuff is in that car.
Yeah.
No, to be totally transparent, the county does not get reimbursed for that.
Well, that was my
right.
Point of my question. But if the car is running,
the car county will be reimbursed.
Absolutely. And it used to not be that way, but since I took over 10 years ago, we made that happen because I didn't believe the taxpayers need to be punched in the face for those cars sitting out on the side of the road for 10 hours.
Exactly.
You know, the county needs to be reimbursed for that.
We went through this budget last year and we were trying to cut everything we could, but say they were sitting on the side of the road or working at the expo, whatever, that car sitting there burning gas, and the wear and tear of it going over there and coming back, well, the taxpayers shouldn't have to pay that officer to get extra money. You see, well, that was my point. As long as the county's being reimbursed,
it goes straight into the general fund.
And that's the...
to the tune of a whole lot more than is being used. I don't have that particular number, but my lieutenant that's out right now with he had a procedure done on his shoulder, has that money, and it's a pretty significant amount.
Yeah.
$20 an hour.
But inside the county, there's no reimbursement.
Shouldn't there? But that's...
You know, that vehicle's here, and usually when they work something here in the county, it's for a public safety thing, but instead of them being funded by the county to be there, they're being funded by a private entity,
right,
paying for their time to be the police right there.
Right.
And that benefits our taxpayers. I mean, yes. I can't tell you how many riots we've had in Copper's Cove, you know, fist fights, assaults and stuff at sporting events,
well, that's why they're
here, there, there, anywhere. And it's, you know, that's why we're there. And to be totally transparent, no, they don't. That portion of it, if the vehicle's not sitting there running for the time they're there, the county is not being reimbursed. If they drove 30 miles, you know what? That's 30 miles of gasoline.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty expensive now.
Taken by
$6 a gallon.
Taken by, you know, someone. But you know, I know other counties, you know, for administrative type positions, they do stipends, vehicle stipends, what have you. I don't know what that looks like, but I, you know, given today's market on vehicles and what have you, I think that would be pretty costly in and of itself.
You know, there's some counties that have restrictions that the vehicle can't go over 5 miles across the county line. But I know there's one that across the road from me, and I'm 6 miles inside the county. He worked Hamilton County, but he's close enough they let him take his vehicle.
Well, I mean, there's folks here from Williamson County, they drive their car all the way.
I've seen that.
I mean, it's usually up to the agency.
Yeah.
What they want to do. And don't get me wrong. I mean, it can sit here and, you know, we can banter back and forth about who has authority over the vehicles, who doesn't have authority. I don't ever want it to be that conversation. I think it's counterproductive to see who's in charge and who ain't.
Yeah.
What I'm looking at is what's giving the citizens the best bang for their buck. Well, I'm going to tell you, 11 out of 34 deputies live in Kempner, Temple, Killeen, and that's it. If we did as the crow flies, you know what? Sometimes it's longer to drive from here to the county line at Copper's Cove and then get their personal vehicle and drive 8 or 10 miles into Bell County. Well, they have to drive all the way around to get there versus they could just run up 36 and cut 20 miles right off the top of it. Because we can't just leave these cars anywhere. They have to be parked. And, you know, Sometimes we utilize the police department at CTC if they live too far. We utilize the annex in Copper Cove. Or they can leave them here at the sheriff's office. But there you go again. You know, parking is premium around the square. But that's the least of my concern. The majority of my concern being each one of these deputies, that is their office. They come here. It has everything they need to function throughout the day, whether it be from putting a cow up that got out to a murder scene. And unfortunately, we've had all that and more. I think if it was put to the citizens and put to them accurately and very transparently, I don't know if citizens think it's not now. Their law enforcement be as effective and speedy as they can possibly. To be more selfish, I don't know any of these deputies that would stay tied to this sheriff's office for $45,000 a year base salary. I have one that has been with the county for 15 years. 15 years, and he's a supervisor, and he makes $60,000. Not even what a base salary is for either one of these agents. I'm afraid if we start trying to regulate and take their vehicles away and take all that, we're going to lose a third of our debt because they can go across the street or stay on the south end and get a $20,000 plus. Well, for these experienced hands, they're going to get a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 pay grade for a lateral and a $10,000 final book. That's just the selfish side of the spin. Our sheriff's office is in as good a position as it's ever been, ever in history. And I'm being very proud of that. You have to take my word for it. Talk to the prosecutors, talk to the judges. My opinion, we're the most elite law enforcement agency inside this county. And I would tell that to either one of the chiefs, because we bring the full meal deal. We have a jail, we have a TAC team, we have people that show up no matter where it is in the county, whether it's inside the municipalities or at the far edge. We've even had other counties call on us to come do their warrant services for them, because they didn't have a TAC team. I think it would be very counterproductive, and that's where I'm leading.
Okay, a lot of good discussions, and I think they're warranted to have the discussion on this. So my on one side, because the answer is I don't know. With our insurance policy through TAC, do we bear any additional liability by those individuals being out of county? I don't know the answer to that. But then two, Sheriff, do you actually have a policy that says this is how we operate our vehicles? This is what's allowed, what's not allowed, or is it just something we're saying word of mouth?
Good common practice.
Okay. I would... I mean, for the court to really consider anything one way or another, I think we'd have to take a look at what is the policy as opposed to, you know, just common practice or word of mouth type thing. And I don't think it has to be elaborate, but, you know, so that all the employees within the sheriff's department would have something in writing saying these are my left and right limits. And then that would be something that the court could review to make some determination of whether there's agreeance or disagreeance with that. But right now, we're just talking. We're saying, because I think at one point, you know, in some discussions early on in my tenure, I think we had some mental health deputies that were leaving their vehicles at the Justice Center in Coppers Cove and going home. Maybe they lived out of county or something like that. There's been talk, but I don't ever really think there's been something for us to see in writing. So for us to determine one way or another what's advantageous or disadvantageous is to, one, to see if there's any liability that we incur with those vehicles being outside the county. And then two, you know, what's the policy internal to the sheriff's department?
I don't know if the court was made aware of AG opinion KP0111 from Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas. But if you do have it on page 3, about middle of the page, it says, however, Commissioner's Court Oversight Authority does not permit it to interfere with or usurp the sheriff's authority to use the vehicles, personnel, and other resources that have been allocated to the sheriff to perform the duties of that office. In particular, a commissioner's court generally may not interfere with the sheriff's responsibility to deploy law enforcement officers and vehicles. Does not possess the authority to micromanage the sheriff's deployment of the fleet of cars placed at his disposal. Not my words, Attorney General Ken Paxton.
I've read it. Like I said, at the beginning, I have read it, but there's also opinions from that same AG about in the county responsibilities, because that's where that sheriff's office lies, and out of county responsibilities are use of. So
my question, Commissioner, if Hamilton County called right now and said, hey, we're in a bind, I can't come because Commissioner's Court says it has to be used inside the county.
No, that's not what we're discussing. That's
same
official
thing.
Duty.
Same
that's,
thing.
No, it's official duty. That's a responsibility as a lawman or a lawwoman or a law.
Did you ever take on a vehicle when you was trooper?
Yes, I did.
Was you assigned to a region?
I was.
Did you live in that region?
No.
Did you take that home car?
No, I didn't.
You did not take that car home?
I bought a place in Owl Creek.
Did you
I
not?
I lived in Jonesboro, USA.
Did I ever see that black and white parked in your yard?
Not Jonesboro.
On Highway 36, right?
Yep.
Left. Yes, sir, I have seen.
No, sir. There was another troop that parked there, but not my patrol car. I have affidavits written to the state of Texas. There was also a deputy that parked there, because you remember I had to tell him to move his car where I could mow. I promise you, I bought a place in Owl Creek when I patrolled in Temple. This is, again, we're trying to do the personal thing. That's not what this is about. Citizens asked for me to discuss this, and employees asked for me to discuss this. That's why I put it on here. I've explained.
My employees asked you that?
Yes, sir. I have explained to people the necessary rights, reasons, everything for someone to take a car home. Their great concern is taking it outside this county. That is their concern. That's why it says it. That's why it's worded that way. That is their concern outside the county. Not inside this county.
I will fight it tooth and nail.
Right.
Okay. We don't need to be personal. I mean, so, you know, so it's not point counterpoint.
When did you come to me to talk about this?
This has been discussed.
Okay. Again, we're getting point counterpoint personal.
About this.
That
I had to call you last Wednesday.
Yes, you did.
But you'll go talk to these deputies of mine about it.
No, they came to me. I didn't go talk to them.
My point, but if they were coming to you, why didn't you come to me? Isn't that what professionals do?
Hey, I don't know why they came to me and they didn't go to you, Sheriff.
Because they were bailiffs that you met with 3 times.
No?
Yes, sir. I know that to be a fact.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I can show you the video.
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
Judge, my apologies for getting a little off track. I do apologize, but I will tell you unequivocally that I will stand on these AG's opinions, and I will personally go get legal representation to defend these attorney general positions as it pertains to protecting our citizens in this county. And if it takes that, I'm all in.
Sheriff, I don't think anyone is denying, and I appreciate the attorney general's opinions. I've not looked at them.
I will give you a personal copy.
Thank you. But it goes back to if there is a concern, and it's what we use the court for, is to talk about some things, okay, and trying to find resolutions to those concerns. And there's not always a good answer. I know it's not my position on this, and I'm not going to speak for anyone else in the court about trying to be confrontational about you being able to exercise your constitutional rights to operate your department. It is, do we assume any liabilities? I mean, this is, you know, my question, and I don't know the answer to it. Do we assume any liabilities by allowing deputies to take vehicles home that live outside the county? And then two, without a policy, you know, how far does that reach? And I'm not saying we have deputies that live in Williamson County or, you know, someplace outside of, you know, Milam County or you know, wherever. But I think that it's reasonable to say that there is some limit to what we would support. And without a policy, you know, somebody can hire in from Milam County or Limestone County and say, well, I'm going to drive the vehicle back and forth from there.
My common practice, just so you know, it's not writing, but it will be before closing business today. But my common practice for the last 10 years is if you live in one of our sister counties or Goryeo because of your response time, I can put it all the way down to what it takes as a response time.
That would be your own choice. I'm just saying that we've talked a lot. You've explained it to us, but there's nothing that we've seen in writing. And I'm not asking, you know, for something that's going to be elaborate, but I think there needs to be some defined parameters to even include, you know, the use of them off duty outside of the county. Does that happen? I don't know. I think sometimes it wasn't. I don't know the answer to that question. So, item number 17. I don't believe we have an order to consider at this time. But I do think it's worthy of further discussions later once we find out if there is any insurance liability. I mean, if they got in an accident outside the county. And then I think it would behoove us to look into applicable AG opinions as this court forms an opinion.
Can a citizen speak, Your Honor?
Before we take action on an item, yes, then citizens would be allowed to speak. Yes, ma'am. Any action to take? Table? Not table? Or just no action at all?
No, I agree with the sheriff. Like he said, well, yeah, we're done budget. We need to sit down and have some pretty strong, you know, conversations and work through this. Because I see both of y'all sides of the point, but I'm picking on Mr. Bobby. You know, he runs, he's over the jail. And if they have a death or something happens over there, I mean, going to get his vehicle and come over here. So, but I mean, we got some tough decisions to work out. And I've glanced over the AG's being sheriff, and I understand where you're coming from as well. But as a court, we got to do our due diligence to cut corners where we can. But I say my cut vehicle? No, absolutely not. But we're just trying to micromanage budget, do the best we can with taxpayer dollars, is what I'm saying. But like you say, Sheriff, we can't. Life is can't place a life, and I agree with that. So, because with most of those guys that
take those vehicles to the yellow town. Once they step in there, they're in their office for the rest of the day.
That's fair. So I have you. Okay. Noting that the court has no action to be taken on item number 17, Ms. Taylor, I will entertain comments.
Thanks. Your Honor, very I don't know. You guys have got us over $4 million in debt, and you're bringing up something as petty as this? I don't get it. You should have been more concerned about the cost overruns that you let slide by. So now you're picking on the sheriff and his deputies, and I'm not going to have it. I'm just not. I'm going to mobilize people if we have to do it again, and we're going to back the sheriff because this is petty, very petty. This man runs his organization. You, sir, Your Honor, you run yours. And I don't think it's right to have you tell him what to do or him telling you what to do. Y'all are elected officials. You run your own areas. So let's stop with the pettiness. Let's start worrying about these cost overruns that you let slide.
Ms. Taylor, I'm going to ask that you keep your comments germane to this topic. But you're welcome. You're welcome. Yes, ma'am.
The other day, sorry, Amber Dippett, for those that don't know me. The other day, the sheriff had made a asked a question on his social media, and it asked if anybody would work and do the job that they do for $45,000 a year. You know, on that list, there's over 100 comments in nearly every single one of them, except for his deputy, said absolutely not. Not putting our life on the line to go to work for $45,000.
Ms. Tippett, I'm going to ask that you keep your comments germane to the, well, we need to get there.
How crazy when you were approved.
That is not germane to the... Yeah, so
that ended up it for we will lose deputies. We will our crime will go up. It's that's what it is. It all goes hand in hand. And it was like Matthew saying that he had bought when he was a trooper, he bought a house in Owl Creek. Can our deputies come and buy a house in Coryell County making $45,000 a year? No, they can't. So I mean it all goes hand in hand. Yes, they're on insurance. I understand that. That is the one aspect of this entire conversation I actually do understand. And I agree with. However, you're putting my life and every one of these people in this room in danger by connecting them with the bailiff cars. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We have a bailiff car situation. I agree 100%. But they don't go in with the sheriff's part. He's an elected official just like everybody else. Y'all aren't his boss, and he's not y'all's boss. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, I believe there's no action that the court wishes to take on item number 17. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Ms. Cornegan, thank you. All right. Item number 18 is to consider requests from the Gatesville Chamber of Commerce via letter for the use of Coryell County properties in conjunction with the Chivalry event. I believe a copy of that letter went out into your in your packets, noting that it is basically the parking lot area or the open area, commonly referred to as the old gin lot, as well as parking area, parking lot across from the new annex on Leon Street with access, potential access to the RV power pole hookups. I did speak with Mr. Matthews, not Commissioner Matthews, but Mr. Matthews in reference to this. Said we did not necessarily have a policy on those RV hookups, but if they wanted access to those, we would need some level of compensation. He didn't seem to have any problems with that, but it's not even to formally say they were going to hook something up at this point, we haven't even worked out yet. But I don't see any issues with this request as it's been presented in the conversations that I've had with him as well. Commissioner Matthews, I'll...
I don't know. I was contacted, but I was contacted by a different member of the chamber. I think this was sent through via Mr. Taylor.
Well, the use would be for parking, but they were also talking about letting the van, the bus, to spend the night.
Yeah, he discussed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, about looking at the bus up.
Travel bus.
Yeah.
We do have two vans coming in. One bigger than the other, so that's what it was, just to make sure the buses were safe and close.
Gotcha.
No, I visited with them about the insurance. They've got the same insurance they've had in the past years. They've been required for use of work stuff, so all the event coverage should have us on there. All that seems to be in order. So.
Okay.
And so that I can be transparent with all of you, so that you'll understand the conversation that I had with Mason Matthews. He had initially approached me about, you know, could the band hang out inside the courthouse? And through those discussions, we felt like some of the activities that the band may choose to have pre-concert might not be consistent with the policies we have in place for our employees. So that, and he agreed with that.
That's going to be math problems. Drinking too late.
Sorry. So with that, we talked through several scenarios, and I think that the letter that has been presented reflects, some of those things that we talked about. I don't have any issues with it, and I think that, even with access to the parking lot across from the Leon Street Annex, we could close that off, but then that would also close off a lot of available parking. So I think they should have the flexibility if they want to request that, because that's not going to impact this court one way or another. We can work through that with them.
This is going to ask you, with that being, if that would be a problem. We also have that parking there at the, across there, it's gated. Of course, they'd have to furnish a generator. Now, I don't know if that would be something that, I don't know what the liability would be for the county if we offered that, if that would be an issue.
The RV hookup?
No, ma'am. I'm not
talking about Cross Street.
Cross Street, there it is.
There is the Goldberg.
Okay,
that's parking lot across the floor. That's what Mason did. I was thinking about getting your plenty of room to work when we get in and out and hook up, and anything going on at the court that day, so should be fine.
I make a motion we allow the Coryell Chamber of Commerce to use the county owned property. Listed in this letter.
Would that motion be the Gatesville Chamber of Commerce as opposed to the Coryell? Because I don't know that we got a Coryell, but I just want to make sure that we're okay.
Yeah, just add some more
stuff to it. Okay, so we've got a motion to approve the request from the Gatesville Chamber of Commerce as identified properties identified in this letter to approve that from Commissioner Taylor, and the second, I believe, was from Commissioner Basham. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any further discussion on item number 18? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 19 is to discuss and consider process to move forward with former Coryell County Hospital property to sell, located at 1109 Saunders.
I asked for that to be put on there as well. The real estate broker that is contacted with the county right now, or however you use that verbiage, has asked if she wants to proceed. I think she's had some phone calls, but she cannot proceed until the city goes through with
report, replat.
Yeah.
And parcel number. So that's why I put it on here. It's been surveyed and I don't know where it is. So
it has been surveyed, but the survey that was done did not change the platting layout. So he's got to change the legal description and take out a couple of dashed lines so that we can be able to get that done. Mr. Belt had forwarded me the last email I think we had on that from Mr. Maples, and I need to get back with him to let him know that that is what the overall intent of that is. The survey is a valid survey. It's just not in a format that we can get it replatted based off of the legal descriptions that he's got written at this time.
Get that sold too?
No.
All right. No action.
Any actions that the court wishes to take? Okay. Ms. Cornegy, if you would indicate that no action on number 19. Item number 20, discuss extending the lease on 113 South 7th Street, Gatesville.
That one I didn't put on.
Send it.
Sorry.
I forwarded the memo from.
Yeah.
Question was asked. Do we need a little more time? They're willing to give us a little more time.
There's a possibility because the permit was just now approved by the city on Monday.
Yeah, I saw they were kind of enough charges for that.
Yeah, sir. And I posted it. Next Monday, the framery should start. So it'll move pretty quick, but I'm not sure.
Where if it's being June?
Yeah,
for publicity.
Yeah,
July 15th is our current date, I believe.
Right.
So they were, my understanding is from the email was that they would be willing to extend to the September time frame if we needed to. But I think they need to let people on their end know if that little time, that time from July 15th, you know, I think September 15th, that's 60 days, they're willing to work with us if we need to, they need to know.
The condition of that air conditioner is kind of the key. Now, there's a bunch of people who have been working on it, but there's two units that operate that. They've looked at them, and I just don't know about equipment purchase, you know, equipment delivery if they had to be exchanged or taken out. But, I mean, the September the 15th wouldn't be bad.
I think that would probably be in our best interest overall.
Extend the lease agreement on 113 South 7th Street, Gatesville, Texas, to September the
15th. Okay, motion to extend the lease until September 15th.
Yes.
And hope that their plans were wanting to be in their building.
I thought so too, but I think they've gone through the real estate broker. That's what we were led to believe by an email. But if it's not, I mean, we'll speed it up. We're gonna go as fast as we can anyway. It's just the county, I mean, the city took a bit for the plans to be.
Well, I spoke with her this week.
Oh.
And it was my understanding from the new owners that they are wanting to take over their new building.
Need some boxes. No. Okay. I'll move as quick as we physically can. Like I said, the primary's being here Monday. Yeah.
I think within a couple of phone calls or a couple of emails, we can get clarification, and we'll forward either some level of communication to you, so you'll have it in writing. So that's what we've agreed to between brokers, new owners, county, and so that would give y'all some level of expectation of that's not just hearsay.
There's a good possibility it'll be ready by the end of July.
Yeah. And if we can move y'all early, I mean, it doesn't mean we're necessarily going to wait, but we'll get what our parameters are, and then the trigger to all of it is as soon as the renovated area is ready to move in, that we move you in.
We'd probably be Frank, that's the now. I would ask, and this is kind of a little bit off the topic, sorry, but I'd ask y'all to walk through it at that point, make sure we don't need to adjust anything. But you know, I'll visit with y'all now. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Then I've got the email drafted up ready to reply to Ms. Lindgren's email. We're going to vote on this.
I made my
vote. I'd like to request an extension to September 15th as possible. Please let me know if they're willing to agree to the extension. That's ready. We're ready.
Okay.
Hit the send button. Ready to hit the button.
All right. So we had a motion to extend from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Taylor. And that is an extension requesting September 15th, 2026. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 20, pay bills. We have had bills presented in the amount of $1,906,690.78. I'm sorry?
21.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, this is item 21. Thank you. No. Item number 21 is pay bills. I think I was putting the check mark on 20 when I said that. So,
thank you.
Got a motion to pay bills by Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Reports, Commissioner Matthews.
Kids are out of school. Everybody needs to be careful. That's about it.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Basham.
Growing the ranch been nice, and into the other schools that are still involved in the sporting events. I know the Jonesboro ladies are making another run for state championship. And they're the oldest award, oldest speed boys in the baseball.
No.
They're not?
I don't think so. I think they got beat out.
Okay. That's all I have, Jim.
Okay. Very good. He left it to you, Commissioner Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You ain't got nothing to do in the morning. Drive down to Austin at 10 a.m. See if them girls can get the three beat. Other than that, enjoying the rain, but I'm like about 5-10 day window here, but we don't have any.
Well, that was the one where I was saying he left it open to you because he did not mention pray for rain.
He said they've been enjoying the rain.
I've been enjoying it, but I need about a 10-day window.
I think there's a lot of people across the county that they're needing a 10-day window.
I know the wheat farmers are not really concerned right now because it's either not any good or it's sprouty. Had one tell me yesterday, there's pigs in my corn, drive through my wheat because it's not any good.
Okay, is that all you have?
That's all I have.
Okay, all right, very good. as noted on the agenda, we do have a closed meeting set up. Item number 24 is pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071. Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to consult with the county attorney regarding pending litigation and a matter subject to attorney-client confidentiality to include, but not limited to, that case of the County of Coryell versus Purdue Pharma in the 152nd District Court of Harris County. And pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.087, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate economic development negotiations, noting that there are four items that may be considered following that, I've got 11:03. 11:15, does that give y'all a little enough break time?
Just so I see the sheriff is stuck around for probably number 27. I do not have the paperwork on number 27 yet, so we're not ready to do anything on this. We won't be discussing it, taking any action on 27 today. I still have not received the paperwork from our attorney and tax regarding that matter. So,
okay. All right, so there will be, at this point, three items to potentially consider coming out of the closed meeting executive session and taking that one item number 27 not to be considered. So with that, okay, I've got 11:04. We'll reconvene up in the front conference room at 11:15. Thank you all. Get your